This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Rod Rees-Subramanian.
AP reported that Prince William and his brother, Prince Harry, harshly criticized the BBC and British media for unethical practices after an investigation concluded that one of the BBC's journalists used deceitful behavior to secure Princess Diana's most explosive TV interview in 1995. The report found that reporter Martin Bashir acted in a deceitful way and breached BBC rules by mocking up fake bank statements and showing them to Charles Spencer to gain access to the princess. The report also criticized the BBC for covering up what it knew about Bashir's actions and said the corporation's own probe into the matter fell short of its usual standards of integrity and transparency. Were you surprised to hear this, Rajvi?
I grew up watching BBC all the time, and I've got a lot of respect. And I also attended a lot of workshops organized by BBC. But I personally feel it's better late than never. And I, of course, you know, the things that you all need to understand is this was an interview that came out in 1995 when the journalist Bashir, he managed to convince Princess Diana's brother saying, you know, I've got all the documents saying the royal people have actually given money and the transactions to do some cover up and all the kind of stuff, which actually fueled and actually inspired Diana to come out to the public and disclose what's happening within the royal family. And everything is history. This interview came out in 95, then they got divorced in 96, and then she died in 1997. So the point here is those documents were fabricated, which was actually disclosed by the investigation team. Even though it came many years later, I think the top brass at BBC knew even then. So again, this is only goes to show that, you know, sometimes, you know, journalists adopt some, ways and which is not ethical to secure interviews. So we have seen them done that. And this is not something that I'm kind of, oh man, surprised or anything. I mean, in every organization, I mean, this is my personal opinion. I feel every media organization is biased in certain ways. There is no media that says, oh, I'm totally balanced, fair. It can be balanced and fair in certain situations, but not all the time. So again, I know at least here, at least we knew at least now, okay, this was completely fabricated. Even the reporter acknowledged that. But then he said Diana was in no way forced to give an interview. And the interview was actually kind of, you know, very, very popular because she made the statement, there were three of us in this marriage and all this. So that was an explosive interview that I also catapulted Bashir to stardom in England and also across the world. And I mean, after this investigation, he pretty much said he's going to retire because of COVID-related complications and all that. But also Harry and William, they came out open saying, oh, this media completely destroyed the family. I mean, that's pretty much is very important, right? You know, we see, oh, media has an ethical responsibility to upkeep truth. But in some instances, we wreck people's life. I think that's also kind of, you know, very hard, you know, it's kind of a little bit heartbreaking to see how sometimes media can take over someone's personal life and completely break it. And it's a trauma for a lifetime. It may be a news for you for one day, but a lot of people have to live with the trauma for the rest of their life. And again, I feel, you know, this investigation has pretty much brought, you know, a little bit of closure to this. But also the fact is, journalists, sometimes they don't understand the implications and the consequences they have on people's life. For you, it may be a story, news for a day or for an hour. But for some, it's a lifetime impact. And I really feel bad for Harry and William because, you know, media sometimes, you know, plays havoc. So I really sympathize with those.
Well, it really helped make Martin Bashir's career, and he just caused a lot of damage in the process. You know, it's one thing you talk earlier about bias, but this wasn't bias. This was deceitful behavior. And like I said, it caused a lot of damage.
I agree that there's bias in the media as far as how we approach stories and whom we talk to and things of that nature. But this is all-out deception, what we're discovering here and finding out. And this is an issue where it's knowingly deceptive. and where reporters and producers behind the scenes knew about this. I mean, this is serious, and this is to the extent to where people need to be questioned, investigated, and punished in some way, shape, or form, or have some kind of retribution for these acts, because this is definitely going to tarnish, and should, if it's brought out and found to be true, that people behind the scenes and journalists working this story were indeed producing falsified or fraudulent materials to present for their stories. And that there needs to be some punishment for this. And in that sake, and what we've seen in other cases, that people lose their jobs. And I don't think that's too far-fetched, but let's call it what it is. I mean, this is certainly something that's deceptive. This was sounded like it was intentional, at least it seems to be intentional, to get a story out there, and needs to be further investigated and clarified.
See, also, we need to keep in mind, it's also culture. There are some countries in the world, to get exclusive, journalists pay money to the people who they are interviewing to cajole them, to convince them to talk. But in some culture, it's not right for people to pay money to get interviews. So again, it's also something to do with culture, and something to do with certain, you know, okay, oh man, it's okay to get money to give an interview. But it's not okay to get money to get someone to talk. So again, all these things are journalistic ethics and principles. And again, you know, we all taught as you know, student journalists that we have to follow certain ethics and principles so that we uphold the profession of journalism, where we actually defend the voiceless. And I feel, you know, Bashir actually managed to escape this. You know, as you mentioned, like, you know, we all know that he documented fake documents to convince Princess Diana's brother to secure an interview with Princess Diana. But then all the investigation was found out that he, in fact, fabricated this document, and he doesn't face any kind of consequences or anything. But only fact is that we have known that people used malpractices and kind of, you know, cheap ways to secure interviews. So again, this is just a kind of eye-opener for us that, you know, sometimes journalists stoop too low to get the work done, which is not, you know, in a good way.
Yeah, the journalist in this case certainly stooped low, but the BBC, it looks like, covered up what it knew about his actions, too. And that has to tarnish the BBC's reputation, because now you have to wonder what other stories are perhaps not 100% faithful to accuracy and truth and honesty.
No, the BBC needs to really look into this to try to contain this and get ahead of this, and try to reassure the viewing public that what they have is the rest of their stories are credible, and that people can continue to watch them and with faith in what they're reporting. So they're going to have a problem on their hands if they don't look into this and deal with it.
Also, I think we also need to keep in mind the BBC is funded by the people in England. It's unlike the United States, where the people have to pay money every year to, you know, to get the license to watch the TV or the radio. So again, this model is different, and people are, you know, they have to, the organization has to be accountable, held accountable for what they are doing. So I think, you know, the BBC definitely is in soup, and I think, as you mentioned, how many stories are like this go unreported? You know, all those things kind of, you know, brings so many things into question, that at least, you know, I'm happy, even after 25 years, this has now come out open, that yes, people are using these deceptive ways to acquire interviews, and I think they have to come out, be transparent and held accountable for all the things that they're doing, because at the end of the day, the people has to be given the truthful situation, so that there is transparency between the organization and the people. And also, one important point I want to highlight is that, you know, a lot of journalists are also forced with this kind of issue, like, no, how can I make my article or my news story sensational? How can I get this interview? Can I do this? So all sometimes I think they are forced to kind of, you know, compete with other organizations. For instance, they have to compete with the radio, they have to compete with television, they have to compete with newspaper. So they are also trying to get the attention of people, and they kind of, you know, go stoop like so low and adopt some illegal ways and means to secure their story. So again, also this, I think, is part of trying to succeed in the profession, but also I think they use some cheap ways to get it done as well.
No, we all face those pressures. It's still not an excuse to engage in deception. That's and stands in contrast to what journalism should be about.
Absolutely. And if we see this repeat itself, with the ongoing atmosphere about what journalism is about and the perceptions that some people have about fake news and so forth, this is just only adding to the problem and the damage we have to undo.
With that, we are going to wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.